Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey folks, Nicole here. We usually leave it to Mark to record these preambles, but I've noticed he's been mildly abusing this power. This is what happens when you record a whole season of content ahead of time. The two of us had such a blast recording season one of Nevermind the Music, and we're gearing up for season two. Subscribe to our show, and hey, maybe you even have an elder millennial nerd in your life that loves music composition and psychology as much as us. Share a favorite episode with them and help us spread the word. Also, feel free to rate and review this podcast or certain episodes so we know what you'd like to hear more of in the future. Look at me using my preamble power for good. $20, says Mark's going to chime in here and tell you that you have to rate and review us. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, Mark here. In this maybe kind of random, but probably inevitable sidetrack, Nicole and I talk about barbershop music. I have some strong and partially well-earned opinions about barbershop music, which I love, but also which scares me a little bit. Yeah, we talk about some cool music and a kind of kooky subculture. Yeah, this one's got a lot of me in it. So if you get sick of hearing my voice, go listen to some Bluegrass Student Union. Are you interested in a sidetrack about barbershop quartets?
I am more interested in a sidetrack about barbershop quartets than I am about chord inversions.
Really? Okay, so this one's not... Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about barbershop.
We can talk about barbershop, right? Because okay. I think barbershop... All right, so listeners, like,
pause.
Sidetracking here. So barbershop music, the crazy thing about it, I'm actually curious on the psychology side of it because it creates these weird... There's like a duality that I find kind of crazy to me about barbershop
music. I like a barbershop quartet. There's one major reason that I like barbershop quartets, and it's the outfits.
I like the outfits?
I like the outfits. I like the Americana. I'm thinking like a vest, a seersucker pant, like a straw hat.
Straw hat, that's right.
Like a matching
Maybe
tie.
Maybe a bow tie.
I want one of the guys to have like an armband around their upper arm for some reason. I also really like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego and the theme song. And I feel like rockapella or what, right?
Sure, that's our generation. Yeah,
yes.
That's not barbershop.
But like,
that's acapella, right?
Okay.
And it's related, right? Well, we can maybe talk about that for a minute too, but a cappella, I feel like we maybe have to take another sidetrack another time.
Oh gosh.
But, because you know, I had
that?
My whole thing. We've
I'm
talked about that.
Familiar.
I played you it before.
Yes. I think
so,
we could for sure talk about it.
Listeners, you have by now for sure heard the episode where you heard 8 seconds of my college a cappella group.
Yeah. Award winning. No.
Not award winning, but they were on, was it America's Got Talent or something
oh,
like
really?
That? They
okay.
got on one of those things and they lost like immediately. But this was after I wasn't in the group anymore. This group continued and they did their thing and they got, I mean, they were good and they got far and then they got on the show and then
There's
I don't remember what show it was.
You can learn a lot psychologically about someone in gaining the knowledge that they were in a collegiate a cappella group.
Right. You lose a lot of respect for me knowing?
Well, no, it just really, it paints a picture.
Yeah, it does. I really want to talk about a cappella another time because
sure. We'll put a pin in that for later.
I feel like I'm going to make some enemies with this sidetrack.
Sure.
I'm going to make some barbershop enemies, even though I love the music. I'm going to save making the a cappella group enemies for another time.
And you know who you don't want coming for you are fans of barbershop quartets.
No, dude. It's fans of a cappella, college a cappella.
Oh, yes.
I'm not willing to make those enemies. I love you, a cappella people. I might air some dirty laundry that you don't want me to air. So let's talk about that another time.
Marcus, unresolved trauma.
So I have unhealed trauma.
Your
yeah,
wounds.
from then. So anyways,
okay.
You know why I got into barbershop?
Why?
So I forgot about Rockapella, first of all, because so I also saw that show and loved that theme song. But by the way, just to be clear, just we're talking about this kind of music. Here's another example.
Sweet Adeline, sweet Adeline, my Adeline, at night, dear heart, at night, dear heart, for you I pine, for you I pine.
So that is the Buffalo Bills, who won the International Barbershop Quartet Competition in 1950.
So that's the best of the best right there.
The best of the best in 1950. But each group can only win once. So it's unclear how long their reign would have. Isn't that interesting? See, actually, I don't want to spoil it. We have to come back. I want to talk about that because that's part of what is simultaneously awesome and troubling about Barbershop. We'll come back to that. So that's the Buffalo Bills doing Sweet Adeline, You're the Flower of My Heart. A standard. The term for a barbershop standard is a polecat. Like a barber pole cat. I don't know what that cat comes from. I get the barber pole, but
I'm not asking too many questions here.
So I found Barbershop through like three things happening when I was a youngster. One is not Barbershop at all, but it got my ear attuned to it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All of it.
I think we probably in our future one day we'll have a Boyz II Men episode, but suffice it to say they're awesome. 1991, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. Cover of a soul tune, 1975, originally performed by G.C. Cameron. So that song is not Barbershop, but it's four-part men's voice harmony, which a lot of Barbershop is. And it was awesome, and I was young, and it was impactful on me. Then this happens, 1993, season 5, episode 1 of The Simpsons, Homer's Barbershop Quartet. Mm-hmm. And we get this.
Baby on board, how I've adored that sign on my car's window pane.
And it's cool because those are like the voice actors for The Simpsons. Like,
so, yeah, augmented by, do you know who the Dapper Dans are?
Yes.
The Dapper Dans from Disney.
Yes.
Those are the guys in the costumes walking around singing Barbershop Quartet stuff. They're great. But you can hear that's Homer in there.
Oh,
it's
for
definitely,
sure. Principal Skinner
in there on the bass. And I saw that. I was a adolescent or whatever, and it kind of blew my... It's also a funny, really funny episode.
It is.
Homer starts a
Barbershop Quartet. Beatles references.
Total
and
Beatles
stuff.
References that I did not get. Because I didn't know the Beatles until I was a grown-up.
And Barney has, like, the voice of an angel,
that's right.
Kind of.
That's right.
Yeah.
Of course. He's on the bathroom floor singing. the bar bathroom floor.
That's right.
So, and also, around that same time or just after, I don't know why, because it seems, like, so risky, my middle school did The Music Man. Have you heard The Music Man? Do you know that music?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
You know, there's a lot of... Till There Was You is a famous song from The Music Man. The music and lyrics... written by Meredith Wilson from 1962. It has these four guys start a barbershop quartet, and they remember the Buffalo Bills that I played for you?
Yes.
They are in the original. They were the barbershop quartet. And so there are a few barbershop songs in that. Okay. And so this is the Buffalo Bills doing It's You from The Music Man.
What words could be saner or truer or plainer than it's you? It's you. Yes, it's you. Oh, yes, it's you.
So that is an example of what we call a post. In Barbershop, the tag is the ending, and oftentimes people will learn like just the ending of a song, and you learn a bunch of tags. Hey, like, hey guys, let's sing tagged. I was in a barbershop quartet for a brief period of time, and so I learned some tags. Like, I don't know the whole song, but I know the last 10 seconds. And the post is the guy holding the long note, usually a high note, while everybody else does fancy pants chords. The crazy thing to me is that I was not in this show. I, as an eighth grader, saw the eighth graders do this show. And I'm like, how bad must that have been four dudes in my class or whatever singing like four songs, barbershop quartet songs. And to me, it like blew my mind. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I just look back. I know how hard it is to sing that stuff. They must have been so bad, but I was like, this is so cool. And I know it's so dorky, but it's so cool. How risky of the drama teacher to do this show. Yes. Anyways.
So in your barbershop quartet, what was your part? Like, were you the bass? Were you the guy that did the post or held the right. long note? Like, what?
So the post could be different guys.
Okay.
But I was the lead. It's kind of weird because when I was in grad school, I was sang in a barbershop quartet for, I don't know, probably only a few months. And I was the lead, even though I was the dude who was teaching music classes. Mm-hmm. I had the easiest part. Because the lead is easy, right? It's barbershops usually songs that are catchy songs that you've heard before, right? Like we did The Way You Look Tonight, the jazz standard and the Sinatra tune. I had the part that is super easy, while as the other guys have these gnarly parts they have to learn. And here I am, the music theory teacher who teaches how to sight read. But my voice, listeners, you can tell, I have like a pingy, loud kind of nasal voice. It sticks out well as a lead, whereas I could have sang baritone, but the baritone or the tenor, which I could do, you have to be more backgroundy, right? So sometimes the post, but it doesn't have, it's usually the lead who posts, but it could be somebody else.
The post is like the sleeper of like the sleeper operative of the barbershop quartet. Like at the end, they just, all of a sudden they just like bust out with this like beautiful melodic piece. And you're like, wow.
So the post is just the word for the dude holding the really long note.
Okay.
So it's not beautiful and melodic. If you go to like a really good barbershop quartet, which is not a thing most people would do very often, the impressive post is the dude who holds the note for like 30 seconds.
Can I ask you something? Yeah. What was the name of your graduate school barbershop quartet?
Either, and this is crazy to me, either we had no name or this is the crazy part. I don't remember. I don't think we had a name, but we might have had a name. And it's actually sad because we were really good.
I bet.
We were really good because we had a couple people that knew the style really well. I am fun. By the way, barbershoppers, before you write in,
barbershoppers, I'm fascinated by this subculture.
Before you get mad at me, I'm an outsider who is a fan.
Sure.
So my intersection was, as much as I did college a cappella and all that, and I'm a music teacher and all that, I just liked this music and met some guys that wanted to sing it. And so I learned. So we had 1/1.5 guys that were like really good and knew their stuff. And so we were really, I was like impressed by how good we were at such a short period of time. And we were going to perform at my wedding.
Oh.
We were going to perform at my wedding. And
what
I was going to sing like The Way You Look Tonight and some other love songs to my freaking wife in front of all my, it would have been the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, Mark.
And then mental illness happened.
Like mental illness.
Somebody in the group ceased to exist because, now I would have seen it coming more soon.
Sure,
but,
hindsight.
You know,
yeah.
Hindsight, after you've interacted with enough musicians who struggle, you recognize things, and I didn't recognize those things. And so it was a frustrating for the other three of us, but we called it quits and, like, to the point that I think there might have been an empty seat at the wedding.
Wow.
Because this was very kind of at the last minute. I don't remember that exactly, but
are they okay now?
I think so. I've lost touch with him, but he got to a better place. But
good, I'm glad.
But
well,
it was
I'm
too
sorry,
bad.
I was
so
making
so
fun of it,
it's sort of funny because I was like this outsider coming in. Wow, this is really fun. We're kind of good, and then it just abruptly ended.
Yeah. Well, I think it like might be okay that you didn't sing a barbershop quartet at your wedding.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
So anyways.
Anyway.
I want to get to like the central like question and weirdness and awesomeness of barbershop.
We haven't gotten there yet.
So barbershop started out as a folk kind of folk music, right? So this is informal performances, sort of casual performances of then pop songs. So it started originally like this is a Black American style, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out of probably this sort of like spirituals tradition and what eventually would lead to the gospel quartets.
Okay.
But as all things do, you know, got appropriated or whatever. But, you know, in the Southern United States, we can say, oh, cultural appropriation. But the truth is there's so much cultural contact, right? That what maybe started out as spiritual singing became associated also with white singers because they were just, the music would have been everywhere, right?
Sure.
And it became kind of popular in the 1900s and 1910s. So this is the oldest that I could find.
Okay.
That still, because I didn't mention this, but when we heard the Simpsons, there were instruments playing along.
Yeah.
Which is sort of cheating, right? Sometimes when you look at the old quartets, there's instruments playing along. And it's only later that it became strictly no instruments. This is the tune Denver Town by the American Quartet in 1909.
He cried, "They be my bride."
I love that. I love like the method of old recording. I'm reading a book that references that right now. And
it's
really
a wax cylinder.
Yeah,
we're listening to.
Really cool.
Yeah, that is not even a record.
Yeah.
So this kind of dies. It falls out of fashion. And by the way, you like the visual. That visual style, it's capturing that almost vaudeville.
Yeah.
19-teens. Kind of cultural moment that almost nothing else in our culture still really refers to, right?
Yeah.
The twirly mustache image is like the only other thing you would see.
So good.
What happens is in the 40s, it gets a revival. So what we have now, this thing that we think of as barbershop is really just a after the fact recreation. People were fondly remembering this music from the teens and 20s or whatever, reviving it 20 and 30 years later. And that's where the wild tension to me comes from.
It's really interesting, too, if you think about time and place, because, you know, 1940s, you're looking at World War II, recalling a time back to World War I, talking about Americana and like feeling like kind of connected to our culture.
Is there like a good old days element to it? And I think that's still true. But so just two examples of the wide variety of what kinds of songs you'd get. It's almost always going to be standards. Mm-hmm. You could do Dua Lipa Levitating as barbershop, but people usually don't. A, the song doesn't really fit the structure that you need certain kinds of chord progressions, but also there's something about classics and standards. So this
challenge accepted.
That's right. So this is what you would call an uptune, which is a fast, exciting song. This is Bluegrass Student Union again. When I first brought up barbershop in our Long Train Running episode, that's the group I play for you. This is a Gershwin tune, Swanee. This tune was written in 1919, but this recording's from the 80s.
Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even now my mammy.
Or you can have a ballad, and this is the Hoagie Carmichael jazz standard Stardust, written in 1927. Same group.
The lonely night, dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie,
and I
am once again with you, just you,
when our love...
I love that.
Super beautiful, isn't it?
It is beautiful. It's haunting.
But I think this is why I wanted to talk about this. Like, this is what I was thinking of when I suggested we sidetrack here. That song would be controversial to some barbershoppers.
Okay.
Because it's too jazzy.
Oh.
It's that beautiful chord on The Lonely Nights is a major 7 chord.
Yeah.
Not a barbershop 7 chord. Barbershop 7 chord needs to be a major minor 7 chord, right? So here's the crazy thing about barbershop, and this is where I'm going to make people mad. So when I was in college and I first got interested in this, Bill Gans, shout out, director of one of the vocal ensembles at where I went to undergrad, gave me the official barbershop arranging manual, which taught you basically how to write in this style.
Oh, wow.
Published by SPEBSQA, SPEBSQSA, the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Wow.
They have since, and that started out as an all-male group. So then there was a group called Sweet Adelines that was all female. And that's called, that. So a Sweet Adeline group is a female barbershop. But then that they got in trouble for excluding people that weren't white people. And so there's a third group that started. Basically, there's these societies and they're constantly going through turmoil. Now there's the whole gender question. Could we have a barbershop group with men and women or even non-binary people? But the thing is
ongoing conflict in the barbershop community.
And this manual that he gave me, I kid you not, was like 400 pages or something long. And so the crazy thing is this is this sort of casual folk style that was literally named after getting together at the barbershop and singing music that has rules and parameters. You must have a certain number of dominant seventh chords or it's not barbershop. The lead voice has to be between the tenor and the bass voice. I get that it's the style, but there's sort of policing organizations. And there's these cool quartets do these competitions, but there's specific rules. I get like, oh, you can only win once. I get that, fine. But there's certain song types that are eligible. There's certain, obviously, historically, certain genders that have been excluded, certain races, perhaps at first that were excluded.
And those are there still exclusionary criteria in current barbershop competitions?
So
like if you're a mixed race barbershop quartet now,
a mixed race barbershop quartet. Oh,
Can you enter a competition?
Spebsqua, by the way, is not called Spebsqua anymore. It's called Barbershop Harmony Society.
Okay.
They're 100% racially diverse now.
Okay, great.
Let's be honest. I'm assuming it's mostly white people, but there's no rule against, and I'm not sure they ever had actual official rules. It was just, I know the Sweet Adelines got kind of in trouble because of some of that, but what there has been is tension about whether we should allow women in. And they did start allowing women in, but it took decades before they would, right? But it's also just, there's something about, it's a revival style. We're trying to save this old style. And it's really beautiful. It's lovely. But you're doing it by making rules of how the music should sound. And in some cases, though not maybe now, excluding people in order to preserve your style of music. Like if it can't stand other people coming in, then maybe the music needs to die. And I say this as someone who's a fan of the style of music.
And like maybe, and that's the controversial point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like maybe allowing growth would make it better, but we don't want to make it better. We want to retain the qualities that already exist.
And I'm not saying that if you went to a competition, which would probably be amazing because some of these quartets are amazing.
Obviously.
And choruses. You might see an Ed Sheeran tune and be like, but there's also going to be people in that room that are driven to the point of tears by that fact. They're mad about that.
Wow. It seems really to like limit creativity, all these rules.
And so I think it's just this weird mix where like tradition and upholding the tradition is in tension with keeping the genre alive. And as like, look, I took composition classes when I was a composition graduate student, right? Or as an undergraduate, big surprise. Sometimes the assignment is write a piece of music in the style of Palestrina, write a piece of music in the style of Bach. That is a valid thing to ask somebody to do. But then there are times where in my class where they say, write a piece of music in the style of Mark Popney.
Yeah.
And if I was only ever allowed to write in the style of Bach, that would be a completely pointless education. So
sure.
I'm not saying there isn't a place for that teacher who told me write in the style of Palestrina, just like there can be a place, let's write a synthetic version of something we maybe remember from the 20s, even because that's not actually how the music, like the rules that they follow aren't necessarily what we heard from that actual song from 1909. There's a place for that preservation, but it's also romanticizing. I'm skeptical of like false memory of how things used to be anyways, because none of us were alive back then.
It's the same in my field. Like there's not a lot of people that are practicing psychodynamic therapy, that are doing like Freudian therapy. There's not a lot of people that are doing only humanistic therapy. What we're doing is a multimodal approach that you take a little bit of everything and make your own style. And it sounds like that's what people in the barbershop world aren't allowing those other styles to influence them in a way that might be detrimental to the growth of the genre.
And I say that like, not allowing, like, I think they are allowing it, but it's met with resistance.
Sure.
Right. So, and it's just that fact is sad. And it's just, but also you won't be able to, like, the only way to hear traditional barbershop if they do let it just change, would be to listen to an old recording. And yeah. So maybe that's fine.
Maybe that's fine.
Right. But it's just interesting, like, because I think of that rule book, that arranging manual, which was really helpful to a young, to an 18-year-old music major to like dig in and learn how this works. But it was also creating
boundary
and also teaching me that there are rules that should be followed. And look, everybody, I'm teaching some music theory tricks here. Like, one of my first things about in front of my classes is there are no rules. Do not take anything that I say here as a rule. I'm telling you a thing that works.
Yeah.
That some people like using. If you treat it as a rule, you will be ruined. I will rant. We will have another sidetrack about me ranting against music theory.
Can I just see pictures of you and your barbershop quartet?
There are no pictures.
No pictures. Thank goodness.
We didn't even ever really perform.
No, huh?
Not really. Like, we were casually, but never like a real performance.
Now,
I mean, where do you perform anyways?
If I asked your wife, right? We're friendly. If I asked her, hey, are you thankful that Mark's barbershop quartet didn't perform at the wedding? What do you think she'd say? Was it for her or for you?
This is actually a good question, because I had friends that asked me to do music at their wedding. And at first I refused because I didn't want the pressure. And then I feel guilty to this day because it's very selfish of me to refuse the pressure.
Because
I'm like, what if I mess up? I don't want to like ruin their wedding. And it's like, well, they wanted me to ruin their wedding on some level. Like they asked me, you know?
Yeah.
So I was probably secretly glad that it didn't happen, because it was going
to
be,
it's like an extra thing.
Oh my God. I would have been so stressed out.
Big day.
Oh, and like when I'm singing, if I've like got a gig, like I won't have a beer the night before. Like my voice gets sensitive, especially back then. And so it'll like, yeah, it would take over my day. And who wants that on your wedding day? But Jesus. But anyways, would she be thankful? I don't know. Maybe it's better not to ask that question.
I think we all know the answer. Mark, let's read our outro credits, but do it in your like best teacher voice.
Ooh, best. So like inspirational moment. I'm always pretending like the thing I'm talking about is the most exciting, interesting thing ever. Never Mind the Music is hosted by me, Mark Poppany, and Nicole Vatcher. I also produce. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review.
And you know, guys, let us know what you think on social media. Your opinion is so important to us. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You could also email us at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. And every so often, we're going to do a mailbag episode where we'll answer all of your questions. So please make sure to send us the best questions you have. Thanks for listening, guys. Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.